I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with our arch-nemesis, those peace haters over at Buffering the Vampire Slayer. I saw all the angry comments directed at only them. Mm-hmm. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad, Bang Bang, a.k.a. Forever Alone, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's Red Hair Streak, a.k.a. Daddy, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, Pow Pow, a.k.a. LaToya's special little baby, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's white hair streak, a.k.a. because I am the special little baby, I do acknowledge that she is Daddy, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
I am Daddy. I even have a t-shirt to prove it. And this week, we're watching Angel Season 4, Episode 21, Peace Out. Peace Out was written by David Fury and directed by Jefferson Kibbe. It aired on the WB on April 30th, 2003.
And this is the one where Angel goes to the Buglands to get the secret knowledge to defeat Jasmine.
Previously on Angel, Jasmine's a power that was, and they've all been saved. For so long, they've all been drowning, with the fighting and the pain. She'd like to help. Fred scrubbed until her fingers bled. Then she saw an upsetting sight. She realizes Jasmine's blood breaks the spell of Jasmine, and Courtney's blood does the same thing. Except for with Connor, who saw and said something. Jasmine says, this world is about to kneel before me, because she's totally a good guy. in the sewers, no one knows them better than Angel. That's really not that important to this episode, but okay. Wes with the skittering demon, whose race loved Jasmine first. Jasmine's telling Connor, soon you'll go out with all my strength behind you. Wesley realizes Jasmine's real name has the power over her. Angel goes to the bug demon's world. Team Angel's left behind versus Connor and company. Angel in the demon dimension? Oh, hell.
And there we are.
There we are. Also, you should know, I started watching this episode today at 2:22. That's a testimony.
That is a testimony. we are so blessed. what an app, huh?
Yeah. Got 4 million viewers, beating Dawson's Creek's 3.8. A solid 4.
Hell yeah, good for them.
They wanted to see Jasmine get punched hard through the head.
Yeah, I guess. Jesus, a brutal ending for our queen.
Our former queen. Actually, never our queen. We never loved her. We're just playing.
But rip, though. Jesus. Everyone is kind of on one in this one. Connor's monologuing to
he is
a comatose
doing
Cordy.
A Shakespearean soliloquy. You know what? Props. You know I got to support this.
Anything that has anything to do with the bard you are into, yes. I'm feeling, you know, end of season 4 of Buffy vibes. Very big finale and odd denouement coming up.
What will happen next?
But I found it to be somewhat less than effective, and I have a couple points where I'm going to point out things I thought maybe didn't work or land quite so well.
Ooh, let's see. I'm curious. But,
do you have any macro thoughts before we dive into scene by scene?
I mean, I think a lot did work, and we'll talk about it. So we'll see where our paths diverge.
We start. We're in Los Angeles, baby. There are all these shots of LA, and then there are shots of the sewer, because that's where we are. We pick up mid-battle with, you know, Team Angel minus Angel fighting all of the National Guard.
Yeah. They got the hero music going. They're doing well. Like, Lauren and Fred are even kicking ass, and she's still protective of her Charles, which I love that.
Love, very nice, but unfortunately it is not enough.
Yeah, it does not
they
last.
Are defeated.
It starts off with them looking cool and badass. I think we're winning. One of those. Cut to.
This is gonna be great. Cut to all of them just like eating absolute shit and Connor being like, where the fuck is Angel? So where the fuck is Angel? According to my notes, he's in a screen cap of Helm's Deep. This looks so bad. Unbelievably bad.
Oh, no, absolutely. My note is, it really looks bad. But at least until we get inside the temple, it looks different from what other dimensions look like. And I feel like that's a problem with this kind of dimension or like Korchoth, which we never see. Like, they're technically, you can't put them on screen.
Yeah. It's something that they don't have the budget to do. And honestly, like, even if they did, like, this was good VFX for the time. And anytime you rely on this stuff, you date yourself. I feel like that's what I've learned covering all of the shows that we watch. Yeah. When you use a lot of VFX, you date yourself.
I think it's supposed to, like, the look is supposed to depict, like, the lack of, like, breathable atmosphere. I think that's what they're going for there.
Yeah, that it's very austere and unlivable.
But they do give up on that as soon as he's in the temple.
Yeah. So I write my notes, click, click, skitter, skitter. The crab guys do not like the portal orb, so Angel kind of wards them off with it. He sees a big tower, and he rightfully assumes that that's where this level's boss is. And he starts heading off there. This looks like a PS2 game.
Which is how you know it's good.
That's how you know it's good. We go to titles. We come back to the sewer. Team Angel is all kneeling before Connor Angel, which is grim to see. He's, like, doing a big speech. He has no choice but to kill them.
He asked them, what did you think you could do? Poison the whole city with your hate? And I write, again, if Connor isn't filled with hate, I don't know who is.
Truly. He tells them that someone finally saved the world like they've always wanted, and they can't handle it because it wasn't them.
Yeah, full of themselves.
Yeah.
And he says something that is pretty poignant and necessary. He's like, don't you get it? You're all alone now, all of you. You're the ones left out in the cold. You don't belong. He's talking about how he usually feels.
Yeah. Remember, and
he was all alone and out in the cold because he was facing the consequences of his actions. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like not working for me. Like pretty much most of the Connor stuff in this episode just falls flat to me. Like I buy that he's full of hate and that like nothing can change that. But I don't, I miss the part where that's something I should be sad about. You know?
Is it saying you should be sad about it?
Like, I feel no sympathy for him. And I think, like, I'm supposed to feel something for him because Angel does. But Gunn pipes up.
I will say, unfortunately, it works for me because I feel a lot of what Connor feels like on a daily basis. So there you go.
Well, that's valid. And I like you.
I'm not sneering at you all the time.
I like Connor. Yeah, I found that you sneer a lot less.
I talk less about how magic is bullshit.
Yeah. So Gunn says he's proud not to belong to a brainwashed cult that worships an admittedly hot false idol. Wes, which like rules, I love Gunn in this episode. Wes tries reasoning with him, like says, like, Connor, you don't know what Jasmine is. And Connor's like, I do know what she is. She's mine.
And I say, ew, stop trying to possess these mommies, especially when they're your daughter.
Like, again, what is she to him?
It's very weird in this episode.
It gets very bizarre in this episode. He's also just, like, about to cut Wes's head off with his sword. And then Jasmine, through one of the National Guard members, stops him. She wants them brought to her. And Connor, like, reluctantly submits, even though he's, like, questioning her a lot, proving that her influence is not working on him. Back in the screenshot of Helm's Deep, Angel's climbing the big mountain. Good for you, buddy.
What does he think? He's Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 2?
Probably. So, at the Hyperion, Jasmine thanks all of her followers and sends them off to the banquet hall because she's going to eat them in a minute. Team Angel is brought in, and she's not mad, actually. She's just really sad for them. She feels really bad for them that they can't be happy about the new world order she's creating. Gunn is like, don't be sad for us. We've taken worse beatings. But Jasmine's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the pain that you've like inflicted on yourselves by denying me. Like you are just have decided not to feel good stuff when you could. That's like the false binary she keeps pitching to them. Mm-hmm. But she wants to know where Angel is. That's the main thing. And, you know, she saw the clicky bug guy's corpse through her followers. And she owns up to having helped the clicky bug world in the past. She said it was a war-torn place before she helped and kicked up their evolution a few notches. And that maybe that didn't go so well, but it was just a trial run for this. That's comforting, right? Sounds good, huh?
Absolutely. But
she says Angel's wasting his time over there. He's not going to find anything to help him. But Wes doesn't buy it. Like, he's like, I think that he is going to find something because he still believes in his boy. All of these, like, news people and journalists are on their way to learn her message that she's going to spread everywhere.
Yeah. Fred tells Connor, you can't let her do this. She'll enslave everyone. Connor's like, she'll bring them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't see it that way.
And then Fred's trying to explain like what she is. Gunn says she's a monster, and you can see it's like it's Gunn fully processing it now, no longer feeling the loss of Jasmine. Like the truth has actually like finally he's accepted it, and he's like, fuck, she's a monster.
Yeah, he's like Lauren, I think, is still, they're all in kind of different stages of grief. Lauren is still very much in the like the hangover period. Like he's still so lost and is really coping with the loss of that like certainty and joy that he felt. But Gunn is like, I'm fucking over it and I am mad you made me your puppet. Like I'm done with this, which everything he does in this episode is good to me.
Of course.
But we reveal here that Connor sees her true face. Like, that is how he has always seen her.
Mm-hmm. And even before he reveals it, I'm like, well, he was in Korta.
Yeah. He's a dang-ass freak. So Team Angel's hauled off. Jasmine assigns Connor to look after them while she's feasting and therefore incommunicado.
I swear, she's told multiple people at this point to be her eyes and ears.
Yeah.
She wants everyone to see and say something.
She does. She is encouraging that.
But I guess to make them all feel like they're part of something.
Yeah, it's like, you have a job, and you have a job, and you have a job. You're my special guy, she says to everyone. So she says that what Angel's looking for is unobtainable and he's not going to find it. Then we see Angel. He goes into the spooky bug temple and there are sculptures of Jasmine around.
Jasmine's head on a bug body.
I would like to see it.
You did?
I want to see it, not a statue of it. I want to see bug Gina Torres.
Crazy.
So Angel meets this high priest who like runs the temple. He refers to Angel exclusively as dead thing, which fair enough.
This one's bipedal. I'm curious who gets to be bipedal in this world.
Yeah, I guess she evolved some people. I assume the people who followed her the most ardently. The temple is empty because Jasmine's been gone for centuries and only the faithful remain, a.k.a. just this one dude. And he's like, she'll
Angel
be back.
Angel towers over this dude, by the way.
Yes, Angel is so much bigger than this little guy. I love his little, like, it's like he has a buzz cut, but they're these little, like, tiny spikes on his head. I like the look of this guy a lot. He's got stubby little fingers with, like, big webs.
You're the weirdo. You're the freak.
Yeah, I love little guys. But he's confident that Jasmine will be back when she's done conquering Angel's world.
I'm like, I'm looking up this dude, and I'm like, I see immediately, like, known for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. He's Benjamin, 1932 to 1934, baby.
Mm-hmm. Buttons, baby. So Angel tries to trick him into revealing Jasmine's name. She's like, maybe we're not talking about the same person. Like, what do you call her? Honey, no, he's not having it. We then go to our next scene, which is in the basement jail cell. And everyone is shocked that Connor has always seen Jasmine's true face. And he's like, I grew up in hell. When will you internalize this?
But then he says appearance isn't that important to me. I'm like, well yeah, sure. You fell in love with Cordy because of her sparkling personality. Considering it wasn't Cordy, it was not her sparkling personality.
It was not. She was a weird creep.
But
so
hot.
Fred. Oh, but absolutely hot, yeah. But he doesn't care about looks, so he didn't notice. So Fred says Cordelia needs help. She's like, have you checked on her? Like, she probably needs medical attention. And he admits that she's been moved. And he's like starting to kind of like hear his words out loud and be unsettled by them. But he also just like is unsettled all the time, always. So he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, and then Wesley realizes Jasmine eats people, to which Gunn freaks out and says it's to serve man all over again. That's a Twilight Zone reference, children.
Oh, cute. What a dweeb. And they're
it's a great episode, in case you haven't seen it, Morgan.
I haven't.
These aliens come and they're like, we're here to help. We're here to serve man. And then by to serve man, they're like, we're going to serve man to ourselves to eat.
For dinner.
Yeah. It's awesome. Cute.
They're like, well, hopefully she didn't fucking eat Cordy, right, Connor? And Connor's like, yeah, I know she didn't because
bye.
Bye. Then back in Spooky Bug Temple, the high priest has a lot of insight into Angel through his powers. He says he's the keeper of the name.
He says he's the guardian of the word, and the keeper of the name is who Angel has to go. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's this weird hierarchy. So he doesn't know Jasmine's name. He protects the guy who does know Jasmine's name. That guy looks like an orc with his mouth sewn shut, and he's gonna have to fight Angel because that's how things work here.
Yes, only with his last breath will he divulge her name.
Which, yikes, he looks pretty strong, so it's gonna be a tough order for our boy.
And now Jasmine's in the banquet hall with a lot of jacked people undressing.
I write in my notes, Jasmine said no uggos.
Right?
Like, she only eats hotties.
She is truly feasting. This is a lot more people than usual. That's why it's not just in her room. And yeah, these are at least sevens.
Yeah, sevens and above. She does not eat sixes. You heard it here first. So Connor interrupts her, and she's immediately like, what the fuck? I'm trying to eat all my hot people. She knows he's wondering about Cordy, and she's like, I told you, she's exactly where she needs to be, out of harm's way. Honey, do you understand why that might not be comforting?
I mean, Connor should just believe her, is the thing, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Gina Torres is hot, and I would believe whatever she said to me. But obviously, Connor's a dang-ass freak. He's built different. He feels some other type of way about this.
Yeah, that's the problem here.
Yeah. She says, there's no reason for you to know. You should be comforted by my words. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, buddy, you should be watching your back around this guy right now. Like, he is the only person who repeatedly questions her and doesn't listen and, like, doesn't buy into her whole vibe, even though he says he does. Jasmine.
Again, like I said, he's so clearly full of hate, even though that's not supposed to be a thing.
He's visibly seething for like 60% of the time, always.
But yeah, she says that Cordy is under constant guard, like Team Angel should be right now. Connor does not take heed of that, and he decides to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, does not take the note at all. And it's so silly. She's like, oh shit, you think I ate her, don't you? And he's like, no. And she's like, oh my god, don't be mad, don't be embarrassed, don't be embarrassed. I get why you would think that, but no, I didn't eat her. Like, you and Cordelia are my parents, my tether to this world. I could never hurt you. So she's like,
she
go
even
on.
Says they're her tether to this world. Mm-hmm. There you go.
And she's like, and he's like, anyways, go back to guarding. And he's like, I sure will. And doesn't. So back at the Spooky Bug Temple, Angel is fighting while the high priest pontificates on why he fights. He says, it's not for your friends. You know, they're probably dead. And Angel's like, I fight for this world.
Yeah.
And the high priest is like, this world that doesn't want you.
Yeah. How do you feel about this episode in terms of a lot of it is reclaiming the mission statement? Since, you know, Angel's not been the best leader. A lot of the time, but like he's stepping up. He is stepping up to be the champion in this episode.
The reclaiming the mission statement, I think, is solid. Like, it's nice to see Angel like embrace all that stuff. He's like, this world doesn't want me, but it needs me.
Yeah.
And he still believes that. It's cool to see him still believe that. It's kind of not so cool to see him believe that amongst a bunch of like characters that aren't really characters and exist just as like functionaries for him to grab an object from and then return.
He does it to Jasmine too. He says it to Jasmine too.
Yeah.
To the point that he like tries to basically recruit her to Team Angel and she says, nuh-uh.
That is unfortunately the scene I have notes on and I wish I didn't.
Ooh. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Morgan has notes.
Yeah, so Angel's like, you tell me what like I'm fighting for if you know so fucking much. And the high priest says, the boy. And I write in my notes, I wish I felt this. So
you don't feel this after he beat the shit out of Connor to protect him and the world?
Yeah, like I don't know why. For some reason, I'm having trouble buying into this. Logically, I know Connor is that little baby we saw in overalls. But, like, they have had zero moments of connection that have not been lies or magically induced. they have had no moments even where they seem compatible apart. Like, give me Sleepless in Seattle shit, you know? Like, where, you know, Tom Hanks is talking about, like, how the love of his life could peel the apple in the single strip, and we see Meg Ryan doing it. Like, it doesn't have to be that literal, but, like, you know...
You want a rom-com with father and son.
I want, like, a, like... story about how these two people are searching for each other in all of the wrong places and not realizing that what they need is to be brought together.
I don't think the story they're telling is that Connor is searching for Angel. How much can I say or want to say? With obviously Connor's story is not over for the season yet, so
yeah. I long for, like, Angel wishing he had his son. Like, he doesn't really seem like he never really he barely had Connor for season 3. Like, it just doesn't seem like that hole in his life exists. Like, he's kind of just like, and now there's this kid, and I just don't buy it. Like, I don't buy I just don't feel anything, and I want to feel something. I just feel exhausted. And I know to a certain extent that works for some things that they're going to do in the future, but I just don't believe that Angel cares about this kid anymore. He, like, got really mad at him for fucking Cordy, and then it just seemed to, like, sever the connection fully. Like, he says he cares, but I haven't felt him care or felt why he should care.
Not even as
so long.
Not even as he's trying. Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. He keeps trying to tell Connor about it wasn't Cordy the whole time. Like, he just keeps being stopped. I feel like every time he tries to do anything, he's, like, prevented from trying. I feel like he wants to do things, but, like, for whatever reason, narratively or, like, with this character, with the Connor character, it's, like, it's cut off.
Yeah, I can't buy into it as a viewer. Like, I just, like, the show has proven to me that Connor is, like, irredeemable at every single turn. Mm-hmm. And Angel, I feel like, hasn't really articulated how he feels about his son to anyone. And so much of that is because Cordy, the person he talks to about his feelings the most, has been gone this whole season. And I'm longing to feel something here that I just don't. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a hole where I know some kind of emotion should be, if that makes any sense. The High Priestess says, like, Angel already lost Cordy. Oh, sorry, High Priest.
Stop misgendering him.
I'm so sorry. I just believe that all powerful people should be women.
I believe that this whole world has no women whatsoever, and that's why they were like, Jasmine.
Fair enough. The High Priest says Angel has already lost Cordy and is going to lose Connor, too. Then, in the Hyperion lobby, the satellite feed is almost ready. Connor, meanwhile, is sniffing around for Cordy's scent. He finds a gal who uses her perfume and is like, you smell like Cordy. And she's like, oh, yeah, I just use her perfume. And Connor's like, not you. And, like, keeps going.
He just, like, tossed her aside.
Shut up. You're of no help to me. He then zeroes in on who? Is that Thierry I see?
Oh. Oh.
He zeroes in on a man in a cap.
I put something. I think I put, like, hat guy. I'm like, that's Thierry.
That's fucking Thierry. For those of you who don't watch the originals, there is a character who has very little texture other than he wears that kind of hat all the time. So to me, this man is Thierry.
Thierry. Thierry and his friend are talking about how the Lakers have disbanded because they need more time to devote to Jasmine. I'm sorry. You're telling me ESPN is not reporting on this? Kobe Bryant said, no, I have to worship Jasmine.
And, like, I can relate, but I do feel like this would be bigger news at this point.
This is insane.
So a KTLA reporter tries to stop, like, Connor for a quote, and he, like, breezes past her. He goes out into the courtyard where he finds these two guys talking. They're, like, collecting Jasmine for Jasmine. And Connor's like, yeah, like, she doesn't have a fucking enough of that shit.
I was like, okay, maybe Carlizer paid attention to Boreanaz. I'm like, that's a very Angel line delivery. Right, because she needs more of that. It was really funny, actually.
Like father, like son.
That's what you should say. You're just like your father. That's someone should just walk in and say that.
You're so deeply over it, just like your father. But he's like, I can smell it on you. You moved Cordy. And it's okay to tell me. Like, how would I know if Jasmine hadn't told me, right? I'm smiling. We're all smiling. This is fine. But they're like, no way. Your vibes are off. We're not telling you shit. So Connor immediately gets super violent and is like, just tell me, like, where she is and I'll kill you. He's like, tell you and you won't kill me, right? Nope. Zoinks.
You should have killed them.
Yeah. At the temple, the high priest is asking, why do you bother?
Oh, I will say, he says, why do you bother regarding Connor? Because he shouldn't even exist. I'm like, well, that's the same argument for Dawn. Why does Buffy bother with her? But it's because
absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Dawn is a net positive, basically. Ultimately, she's being great over on Buffy season 7.
She is. I love you. Bless you, Dawn. You're doing much better than Connor.
I think Connor could read. That's part of it. I know Dawn can read. Can Connor?
Probably not. I wish they both could keep journals because I love her diary. I wish that Connor was keeping a little diary.
Oh, you want that back? You're the one?
Yeah, I'm the one. So he's like, the boy is just a device. Like, he was never even meant to be born. And Angel says, people get born for all kinds of reasons. Like, he continues to say, hashtag fuck destiny. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, your fate or what was intended for you doesn't matter. What matters is what you choose to do with what you have. And I'm like, look what Connor has chosen to do with what he has, like, repeatedly. And obviously, he did not choose to go to Kortoth and be raised by a melting candle.
Oh, no, that little baby is like, take me.
But, like, they keep giving him, you know, outs to be a better dude, and he just doesn't want those or, like, doesn't have it in him to take those. So the high priest is like, he'll never love you. And Angel says, it doesn't matter. And he kills him. Good dad. Then, in the cell.
And he kills him. Good dad.
Good dad.
Murdered a priest. Good dad.
Good dad. So, back in the basement of the Hyperion in the jail cell, Gunn is kicking down the door because nobody has a better plan.
And Gunn's right
to do it. I love you, baby. Things are looking pretty hopeless. No one is in a particularly great mood.
Wes and Fred basically realize that the reason why Jasmine moved Cordy is because she can't kill her because she needs her alive to be alive. She can't hurt her without hurting herself.
Yes, they're like, maybe Cordy can hurt Jasmine and we have to get to her. But, like, how will we get out of here?
Also, what do you do? Slice Cordy's throat? Throw her at Jasmine? Throw her limp, lifeless body at Jasmine? See what happens?
We have proven throughout this season that they are not good friends to her. So maybe that is their plan.
Just toss her?
They couldn't fucking recognize when she wasn't herself. So I guess they don't like her that much.
Again, I was listening to an episode and I did say this. She's acting more like herself. She was acting more like herself around them than she ever was with Connor. Because that's when the tinkle tinkle was playing.
It's true, but still, like, see something and say something, gang.
Remember when she called Angel dumb to trick him into becoming Angelus?
Yeah. Pretty good. So then Connor goes to church. He said, take me to church, and he did it his dang self. He is out there. There is a sign that says, God is nowhere. There is only Jasmine.
I was like, this is very sacrilegious.
Me. Connor goes in and he meets two smiley cops who say they can't let anyone in. These guys creep me the fuck out.
This is what gets you?
I did not care for this. It really freaked me out. Gave me the fucking willies.
Good thing.
Both, like, so gentle. Yeah. And it. Ugh.
Good thing Connor says ACAB.
Absolutely, it does. Connor throws them through a wall, like when they refuse to cooperate with him. He finds Cordy on a big altar under a shroud, more laying down motionless for charisma. Exactly what the kind of great stuff you love to see your female lead do. Then in the banquet hall, Jasmine finishes her meal. And it's time for her close-up. We see more of her creepy tentacles. Cool. I want to see her full monster, please.
Mm. I mean, they obviously can't afford that, as we see.
Yeah. Spent all of it going to Helm's Deep.
It's creepy because, like, it's when you have, like, the one shot of, like, the maggots and stuff, that's really cool. But, like, in practice, like, an actual, like, movement, like, as a full person, you can't do that.
Yeah. She has to, like, kind of fix herself a little bit. Yeah.
It
or
sucks.
Else, like, Angel can't really have a scene with her.
I just have to imagine that they are all seeing the maggots and everything, even though it's really, like, the weakest version of her being ugly.
Yeah. Oh, so gross.
It's like when fucking Wolverine and Hart was trying to get Angel to get Billy out, so they gave Cordy those evil visions that were hurting her. It's like when the flames... Like, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Jasmine.
Yes, it does. Then back at the church... Connor wishes Cordy could see the new beginning. He's like, this is what you wanted, right? He thinks Angel prefers the cruel, harsh, like, version of this world.
I've, like, annotated this entire scene. Like, it is a Shakespeare soliloquy. Because, yeah, he says, it started, Cordy, that what you wanted, the new beginning. And, like, he says she was here to see it, but I'm like, Cordelia, the real Cordelia, mm-hmm. would be so anti this to the point that if she was able to be awake because of her mm-hmm. blood, she would immediately not be under Jasmine's thrall. She'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is what you wanted, right? I'm like, why you came to me? I'm like, no, that was Jasmine the whole time. If you only listened to your father when he tried to tell you, because like Angel just like was never able to say the words to mm-hmm. him because he was like, hi-ya!
Which, like, I find, like, never being able to talk to always be kind of, like, bullshitty drama. Like, he just couldn't say it. Like, he just kept getting cut off.
I mean, when he tried to say it, Connor had beat the shit out of them all.
Yeah.
And then next time, Angel was trying to kill her in the middle of pregnancy. And then Jasmine mm-hmm. showed up, and then obviously couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Then when he tries to unthrall him, mm-hmm. that doesn't work. So there's, like, really no room to be, like... There's literally no time to have said it at this point.
There is no time. And he, like, probably even if he was told, would not be in a place to mm-hmm. receive it. Like, given the way that he's acting.
Yeah. I know he's all about their lies and everything. But, mm-hmm. it really is, in terms of timing on the season, literally there was no time for Angel to have told him the thing. Because he at first would not allow it. And then Jasmine's existence would not allow it.
Yeah. And so he says that, like, Angel probably prefers, like, the cruel, harsh version of the world because it gives him an excuse to fight. Unlike me, shatters podium at the church. And he says he breaks a bunch of shit and he says, I'm not like them. I want to stop fighting and rest, but I can't.
Yes, because he says that fighting gives their lives meaning. And then he reveals that despite, being the destroyer and, like, all mm-hmm. his fighting... And what Angel told him, basically, pretty much, like, mm-hmm. go be a champion or, like, learn to, like, fighting doesn't, or helping people, like, tourists and all that stuff, doesn't actually fulfill him. Like, he doesn't feel a sense of accomplishment doing that. Like, that's the, he said the quiet part loud, finally. It's like, mm-hmm. he, even if he was a good little boy, mm-hmm. he would never feel good about it. Like, it just, it doesn't fulfill him at all. And I think it is because of his upbringing with Holtz, where it's like he was trained to be a killer, but like, and I'm sure Daniel told him all of these things about like how he's a good Christian boy or whatever, but like he doesn't feel it. Like he was not born to be this. He just was made into this.
Yeah, everybody has forced these different identities on him. And I think the problem is it's really hard for there to be a Connor, given that, like, everybody is smushing all of this stuff on him. Like, I wish we had moments with him by himself or with, like, a neutral character where I could see what he is besides what he's versus. Mm-hmm. And I know the whole thing is he hasn't really had the chance to, you know, live a life where he's not versus something.
Yeah.
But I think we needed to see something, even if it was very small, like something that's like a totem or like a touching point for him that like feels right and good.
Well, yeah. You know, he even says like basically the Jasmine thing was supposed to be basically him not being versus anything because he was supposed to feel the same way everyone else did. But he didn't. And he just went along with it. And it's like even when everyone is like created equal in this world and like there's nothing, you know, holding anyone back, he can't feel that. Like,
yeah,
everyone's hate and anger were purged and not his, as we've been saying. Like, his hate is clearly still there.
Very much so. Yeah, he's like, I tried to believe, but, like, she doesn't work on me. And he says that he knows she's a lie. His whole life has been built on that.
Yeah, it's like, I like that. For me, it's like a cult member, which is, like, how Daniel raised him. Like, basically hopping to another cult and hoping that something will be, like, filled, but, like, it can't. Like, he's trying, but, like, he's playing along, but, like, it's not working at all. It's like, kind of in a way, like, Chris Zilka in The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much. Like, someone, like, so lost, looking for the right person to follow and finding that you're not going to find it in someone else. You have to find a way to find it in yourself.
It's like that arc right down to... hopefully in Connor's case, like the way his character ends up where he finally finds peace and he's able to like be well adjusted and he has his hot dad.
Yeah. Oh, they do both have hot dads.
Wow, The Leftovers ripped off Angel.
So true. He says he knew it was a lie. He just thought this one was better than the others, which is like really sad. This is a kid who is really never been given a chance. And I do feel bad for him. I just don't feel much about him and Angel because I don't really think these actors have ever forged, like, chemistry together.
Because everyone just keeps telling us he's just like his father, but we don't. And it's like...
all we see is Angel shove him against walls.
Again, Kartheiser is able to perform when given the chance to. And, like, I really do like the scene. And it is... I think it's written like and shot like a Shakespearean soliloquy. I wasn't like doing a bit, but
no, I know.
It is. Yeah, I'm letting the people know. I know you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. she's serious.
And it's like he can do a good performance, but it's just like, again, with the casting, not because he's bad, but because it just doesn't work with who Angel and Boreana is. Really, it's just like. I see that. Like, you don't feel that connection because they don't feel like they are family or related.
And they don't feel like they're on the same show. Like, Connor does not fit into this show. And I know to a certain extent that is the point. But I also think it destroys the show to make the point that he doesn't belong here. And I'm like, well, congrats. You've convinced me there's no place for him here. Why has he been here this whole time? Like, good job. You proved your point. Like, it. People say, you know, babies ruin TV shows. And I think he ruined this show a lot less when he was just a little baby.
Oh, yes. Connor, baby Angel, has never done anything wrong his entire life.
Yeah, but adult son Connor,
18-year-old
I think, has broken this show.
He's 18.
He's 18.
Get your acoustic guitar.
Did I tell you that on my 18th birthday, my friends and I drove around Scottsdale, Arizona, blasting that song? Because I was the first one of my friends to turn 18, so we couldn't really do anything fun as a group.
Wow, that's special.
It was very cute of us. Then, at the Hyperion Lobby, it's almost Jasmine o'clock. There are journalists from all over in the hallway. Thierry, whose actual name is Jeremy. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to live. I don't know how to be. Tells Jasmine what happened with Connor. And meanwhile, Patience, who's this woman who's kind of acting as Gina Torres' assistant. So much Firefly in this episode. A character named Patience.
Yeah.
and the entire conflict of this episode with her and Angel, which is just Serenity again, kind of blowing my mind. It is press conference o'clock, and it's like, time to go to that. Like, you can't deal with this corny thing right now. So she goes out into the lobby. She's ready to deliver a speech from a balcony, like a good guy. Good guys are always decreeing things from balconies, right, LaToya?
Not a fascist at all.
Not a fascist, for sure. She's, you know, says a bunch of nice things. She blows a kiss to the camera. It would work on me.
Right.
And she pitches her new world. And down in the cell, Team Angel can hear everybody applauding. They're all loving it.
They realize they're fucked, so Gunn keeps trying to kick the cage door now.
He is trying. Again, yeah. No one else is doing shit.
True, they're just sulking. And yeah, she wants a world with no borders, no hunger, war, misery. Sounds good. A world built on love, respect, understanding, and enjoying one another. That's about the orgies.
That's about the fucking. That's about her eating only hot people.
Well, I don't know how I feel about this world where all the hot people disappear because she's eaten them all.
In some ways, like, LaToya, you've said many times, ban all hot people. That's what she's trying to do, and yet don't like her? Like, you once again, call her a false idol?
Once again, the show is giving me what I want.
See? What do you really want, LaToya?
I don't know. Tell me what I want, Jasmine.
I'll see if I can get her to tell you. Our gang is like, it's just us now. We are fully alone. Everyone else has been converted. In the lobby, Jasmine opens up the floor for questions. And the first question is just a person being like, oh my God, you know my name. Oh my God, Jasmine.
And I'm Tracy, like, Bellows, okay, fair. KTLA.
Truly.
That's how they feel about KTLA over on Angel.
Love her. Another guy raises his hand and he's like, what can we do to show you our love? And she's like, you don't have to do anything except, you know, maybe build me a temple, something massive and awe-inspiring, but also warm and nurturing. Oh, just that.
Well, good thing Angel shows up.
Yep, a portal opens, spits Angel out, and Jasmine is like, kill him! Like, immediately, her nice voice goes away. She's like, everybody kill him! And they all, like, lunge at him. And then he wards all of them off with this with the head of the guy that he has. Which I'm kind of like, why are they all so scared of this head?
I mean, it's still, like, a creepy demon head. Like, they're still people.
Yeah, I guess they don't know about demons. So Angel holds up the head. He slits the stitches across his mouth because his mouth was all stitched up like the guy in Hocus Pocus. Whose name is it? Billy?
Yes.
I want to say it's Billy. And the name, he says the name, which is this like word we can't. It's like a bunch of sounds.
Yeah.
You know?
And then she becomes She-Hulk.
Yeah, she does. She hulks out. She hasn't seen Ally McBeal. And we get that full face reveal, baby. It's crawling with maggots, and everyone's like, no! She's able to fix it a little, like we said. Like, suddenly she has a bunch of bumps and, like, bright blue eyes and stuff.
More scabbies than anything.
The damage is done.
Yeah. And downstairs in the basement, Lauren's like, what the fuck? All the screaming. Yeah. Because they do not have a monitor in there. They should have brought the monitor down there.
It would have been polite. They're like, that sounds really bad. And then what happens?
Gunn goes even harder at the door.
And he finally fucking breaks through it.
As Wes tries to tell him to stop.
Mm-hmm, and I'm like, shut up, Wes. A man after my own heart, he says, never give up, never surrender. This dweeb is quoting Galaxy Quest.
And you want him to be less nerdy. Come on, he's a cinephile.
No, I love when he loves films. It's less when he loves, like Star Trek that I'm confused. But I guess he watches, like, he's like a latchkey kid raised by the TV. Ugh, I want to give him a kiss. Then... out in the LA streets, it's chaos. No one likes Jasmine anymore.
Fucking chaos outside. And the thing is, which is why when Angel's trying to actually give her like a helping hand and she turned, it works, is because like she seems genuinely heartbroken by this development. Like the way she plays it is like, I know she's evil, but like, yeah, it's heartbreaking actually.
Yeah, she's just devastated because she like does care about the thing that she created. And well, she does,
she,
like,
she says she does. when the turn happens, it's like, okay.
Maybe you don't. Like, she does, you know, she did like being in charge of everything and having an all-you-can-eat buffet of people.
We all love that. Being in charge of everything and having an all-you-can-eat buffet, okay, yeah.
I mean, sounds nice.
I have my nice own personal golden corral.
Please.
Right.
So she psychically reaches out to Connor, and over at the church, yeah, Connor
she's pretty
hears
weak,
her.
Though, yeah.
Yeah, and like runs off to go get her. Like Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise all over this place. He is just like his dad.
He is. So
Sixth Street Bridge, baby.
Yeah,
our favorite
baby.
Location.
Jasmine is just walking in the middle of the road, and Angel shows up and is like, "It's over. You lost. I did what I had to do."
So you hate the scene, right?
I don't hate... Oh, yeah, I hate it. No, I think it falls a little short of where I wish it could land. Okay. I think the direction is actually the problem. I thought a lot about... Oh, yeah.
Jesus, wide eye.
I think it being outside and there being so much about, like, the scope of it and the noise, like, keeps it from feeling... like, as intimate as I think it should feel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't buy Angel turning and feeling bad for her in the middle of chaos she created. It just kind of doesn't cohere for me, and I wish it did more. It's not that I don't buy it happening. I just don't think this execution works for me. Mm-hmm. But someone's appeared. Kristen,
whatever do you mean? Listen, it's just like you said a bunch of like very smart things about like smart things. But the truth of the matter is that Gina Torres picks up a car in this scene.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand how it could be anything.
There yet. We're at the philosophical debate part, Kristen.
We're
not the car tossing yet.
We're on the bridge. And one thing happens on the bridge. And it's that Gina Torres picks up a car.
After a philosophical debate.
If it was the one thing that happened, I would have loved it.
I buy the debate. I like it. I'm into it.
I mean, can we dissect the debate? And then
let's
we talk about the car.
The debate.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
So Jasmine
He says that he did what he had to do. And to which she says... No, there are no absolutes, no right and wrong. And basically asks, have you learned nothing from working with the powers? Because there's only choices. She's basically saying what Skip said was bullshit. Like, it is about choices.
Mm-hmm.
And she offered paradise and he chose this instead.
Yes. And she kind of like points around and is like, look what free will gets you. And this is where I write in my notes, like, sleepy evil utopia versus messy battleground of good versus evil is like such a huge thing for Joss Whedon. Like, it's in Firefly. It's in this. I don't know who is this like conformist, be sleepy, like, force that he's worried about, because I feel like I have not interacted with that a lot. But maybe this is for me, like, this is the fourth time I'm getting this same thing fed to me by this same person. I feel exhausted by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe not fair to Angel, which I do think is like admirably going at this. I'm just like, I don't feel for her at all. And I love Gina Torres and I want to feel for her. But like, I think this one little moment of softness is too small, especially because she immediately heel turns after it and throws a car at him. Like, I just, I feel nothing here when I wish I could feel things, because
I
love Gina Torres.
I don't quite go like exhausted by this for the weed of it all, just because it's like, it's just very much like a fantasy sci-fi trope in general. Again, they reference To Serve Man. It is like the whole your quote-unquote utopia that's actually a dystopia thing, which is like also a pilot I'm working on right now too, so so actually this is good and it's never been a problem, and you should support it like you support me.
It's not that I'm mad at flawed utopias, which I believe exist, but like Joss is obsessed with this, like, sleepy drugs in the air. Yeah, they bring up stepford wives even in the
storyline, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just don't know if this is... Sometimes I struggle to believe the... to see that point of view. Because it's shown just as opposition, and we see nothing of what it is to want those things and what it is to, like, long for that. Like, no one is making a good argument for it. Like, even Connor, who wanted it, apparently doesn't even like it. Like, I it feels like such a straw man argument to me. And like I said, this feels like the millionth time for me, and I'm like...
I feel like the story actually surprisingly becomes even more poignant because, like, a lot of this is, like, false idolatry, and considering, not a political podcast, the Trump of it all, that fucking fascist, and the false idolatry of his Christian supporters.
Yeah.
They forgot about that part of the Bible, apparently. Don't worship false idols. It's crazy, right?
Yep.
See, I've pretty actually wild. Read the Bible, so... Unlike a lot of them. but yeah, it's that. And also, like I said, it is really the mission statement of the show, though, too. It's just like you're handed this on a silver platter. But like the mayor was offering his own utopia, but it was bad, as much as we all love the mayor.
Yes,
and it's like, yeah, we're not gonna like roll over and lay down for that. I feel like Jasmine's utopia is better, and it is like the whole like, would you if you knew that it would bring on world peace? It is that like that ethical question: would you allow thousands to die for billions to be like, in like perfect harmony, no war, no famine, no disease, like everything's perfect? Like, what are your values? And I think actually a lot of people would say, yeah, I would choose that world instead. And that's what makes Angel and our friends the heroes, is that they say no. It is hard. And, like, they go for the harder path, which, unfortunately, Connor just, like, he can't understand it. He's like, everything's hard for him.
Because he is, like you said several times, like, not a champion. Mm. And I think I wish that there was, like, a little more grace to the idea that, like, not everybody can be a champion.
Yes.
Like the idea that, like, I think this show, occasionally there are characters who show up who, like, aren't champions. Like David, the ethical billionaire we love. And they immediately kind of, like, write them off. And Lila, the way that I feel like she's been treated on this show, where, like, Wes kind of is like, yeah, whatever, fuck her. Like, I don't even care anymore. Like, and the way that relationship was devalued. Sometimes it seems like this show only values champions, and I think not everyone can be one, and that's not necessarily realistic. And I just wish there were some slots for some normies in here, some people who are, I think, a little more messed up and less perfect.
So you want more Connor?
Yeah, I want more. I need it. I want this show to be Connor's.
Connor,
actually.
Of course, canonically normie.
Yeah. A real normie. I long for maybe a little more nuance, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but I just I wanted to be more affected by this than I was. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that I'm arguing with you on any of these points.
Oh,
it's just that
I thought we were in a huge fight.
Yeah, we're in an enormous argument right now.
Yeah,
I
just
Feud.
It's extended. But yeah, he says he chose this because he could. That's what you took away from his choice. And he also says, like, yeah, this is what happened. I didn't say we were smart.
Yeah.
Angel finally admits it.
Finally admits he's a big dummy. Now this I love.
It's our right. It's what makes us human. Aw.
Aw. And she's like, you're not human.
And he's like,
idiot.
Working on it. He is
love
working on it. That's good. Shanty baby.
That is good for me. It's really, like, so far so good. I'm not having problems until, like, Angel is like, I wanna, like, we're gonna end things right here. And she's like, I murdered thousands to save millions. He says, the price is too high, our fate has to be our own, or we're nothing. And then Jasmine says, like me. And, like, the moment where she's like, I'm so sad, now I'm nothing. Like, I just don't. Yeah, I don't.
Like,
feel
I said,
it.
I was, like, buying it, like, even before the Angel scene, though, about, like, how she's devastated she is. Like, it even though I know she's evil, it could be, like, you could argue until the turn that it is, again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, where we know the problem is, like, all the stuff she did as, like, the Beastmaster and Cordy is, like, that's clearly evil, but then at the way she is, it's like there's so much tipping of the scales. Like, is she actually evil? Does she think she's actually doing good? And they, I think they do press the buttons, like, maybe she did actually think she was doing good here until she does the heel turn, which is why I think it works for me. And I, like, if Angel sees, like, someone who actually seems like they want to help, and if it did seem like she wanted to help, I understand him being a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah. Like, I like the impulse that he, you know, reaches out to take her hand, because, one, he doesn't know how to kill her. So, you know, better to make a friend than to continue to have an undefeatable enemy. Like, strategically, it's smart, too. But, you know, I just feel... I just felt like this scene was, like, robbed of its intimacy. I kept thinking about that.
But I mean, also, we haven't even said the R word yet. Is that redemption? Like, this Angel's whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. He loves redemption. He's such a slut. Which is
also, which is also why he's still, it's like, oh, Connor could be better, I guess, even though he's a fucking mess. He's a fucking disaster, my guy.
He's absolutely, he is a disaster, my guy. And I believe that Angel would never give up on his son. I just don't, like, especially those two actors, I see them together and I'm like, what? Like, I feel nothing but every time. And it's funny, I wish I could not.
Because Carthizer so doesn't, like, fit in Angel, as you're saying, but, like, Boreanaz would have fitted in on Mad Men.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, Kristen, now you can talk because it's here.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson. What the fuck? If Cordy is hot, Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep thoughts.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Hey.
So I love the scene on the bridge, but that I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Because I wasn't here last week. And so I just wanted, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, last episode. First of all, I just want to also share your outrage at the horror that Winifred Burkle had at a gun hitting a child to save that child. I listened to you talk about the episode before I watched it. And I was just like, I expected to agree with you, but not so much that my head exploded. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
I was listening to you just have a small debate. I'm so happy that there's a feud inside the pod now. It takes a lot of the pressure off of us.
No.
Morgan, I take it back. No feud.
No!
Yeah, no feud. There are real enemies.
But I think what's interesting to me about the Jazz, this, like, twist for Jasmine, because I also really bought that she was sad. She is really sad, and she also really wants power. And, like, I think that like those two things coexisting is what, like, maybe muddles it a little bit, like, in the viewing. But I like it. I personally like it. I like that she's like, maybe she does think she's doing right, but also at the self same time, she wants a fucking temple, and she wants the power, and she wants to be the one calling the shots. So I like this. I also I love Gina Torres in all of her forms, but I do think that Gina Torres in her, like, semi-mended, the maggots are gone, but I'm not, like, godlike Jasmine is my favorite Gina Torres on the show. I'm obsessed with this version of Gina Torres. We're not in Fuckwatch yet, but if you want to know my Fuckwatch, you can just ask me when we get there, okay?
You freak.
Dang, okay. That's freak.
Let me see. The only other things that I have to talk to you about. Well, there's one big one.
Yeah.
This is not the big one. Why do the people that Jasmine eats have to be naked? Have you talked about this? Did I miss
this is
the
an
conversation?
Orgy.
She doesn't eat clothes, I guess.
She, like, doesn't like cotton. That's what cotton poly blends is not to her taste. Just like,
yeah, no, not for her. She only wants to eat organic materials, I guess.
Just, like,
whatever.
Like, that's an interesting choice. I also want to draw a parallel between your universe and my universe, which is that in the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Spike found Buffy by sniffing the air. And in this episode, we have a sniff by Connor. Do mm-hmm. you think that Connor sniffs better than a vampire? Like, is Connor, does he have double the sniff,
we
double
know
the fun?
He sniffs very well, actually, to the point that even Angel's surprised by it.
He's kind of a super sniffer.
Super sniffer.
Yeah. I think maybe the idea that, like, so much of Spike and Angel has died, whereas, like, all of Connor is alive. Maybe he has, like, better senses.
He, like, has x-ray eyes.
Yeah.
If anyone ever puts together a compilation of Morgan trying to convince everyone that she's a con head, please use that as the final sound clip. He's alive!
Which makes him the peak performer.
Yeah, look, you may not like it, but this is what peak performance looks like.
It's just gangly body.
Flailing.
Oh my fucking God.
Help.
Okay, I have a note here that I can't read.
It's always fun.
I also buy that Angel loves Connor, and I don't know if that's, I mean, not loves Connor, but that, like, is like, I still buy it, and I don't know if that's just because, like, on paper, I'm like, but he's his son, and, like, I can't undo that, but I don't know. I don't care that he beat the shit out of him. I, like, or, like, I almost feel... It just, I just buy it. So I don't know. It's working for me, but
I don't know. I think we've talked about this a lot, of course, as, you know, Angel on Top Host. It's like people give Borans a lot of shit, but I think he pulls shit off.
Absolutely.
He brings it. I think he adds a lot to the believability. And again, it's not like Carthage is a bad actor. He's just not right for this show.
And he's not.
Overall.
Yeah.
And he has said this himself. It's like we're not dunking on him.
No, and I want to clarify, I believe that Angel loves his son and will continue to fight for him. I just also am watching a TV show, and I'm like, it's exhausting holding all of this in my head.
This is a TV show?
LaToya, I'll tell you about it later.
This was a movie.
I don't think too hard. It's kind of like a really long movie.
This was a 22-hour movie.
It just, like he doesn't belong here. Like, and him being here has only brought me misery.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, cheers to that.
To the point where I think it's, like, shitty to do to Vincent Kartheiser, the actor.
Fair.
But, you know, he seems like he's got his own thing going on. No toilet in his house.
That was the tiny house before he married Alexis, but now they're divorced, so...
He's back in the fucking no toilet tiny house. But the tiny house has a sauna, like, but no toilet.
Guys, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm into it.
Just look up Vincent Kartheiser, no toilet.
Yeah, Google Vincent Kartheiser, no toilet.
I'll be doing that as soon as I leave my corner, which I'm about to do. I'm going to be taking a hard turn from holy shit, Lila's here, to toilets and Vincent Kartheiser. That's really all. That's all I have to say in this corner. I'm hoping that I'll be invited to talk in a corner next week, because I'm hoping that we get more of this person who I admittedly had no idea was coming back. And I screamed at my TV. Jenny texted me 3 weeks ago and was like, how far are you in your Angel watch? And I said, I'm just where our nemesis sees are. She's like, well, I skipped a little ahead, so just, like, text me when the thing happens that you're going to be excited about. So with no context, I just texted her Lila in all caps, and she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I got there to the place a month ago where you told me I would get. So anyway, I'm happy, and I'm going to leave now so that you can talk about all of the important things.
Bye, buddy.
Peace.
Kristen's Corner.
As we mentioned, she punches him off the bridge. She throws a car down at him. She jumps off the bridge because, like father, like daughter. And she's like, I fucking care about shit, unlike the powers, which was, like, another thread of this season, the idea that, like, Cordelia flirts with being an uncaring god, and it doesn't suit her. I feel like that is an arc that disappears for shitty behind the scenes reasons, and therefore doesn't work for her to be picking it up here. Like, I get that the other side kind of sucks, but they haven't really dramatized it at all since, you know, the Viva Las Vegas episode where she's like up there. Like, we still had no sense of what her problems were up there and what it was like to argue with uncaring gods. And I feel like this season would be a lot stronger if we'd had that. Mm-hmm. But then they fight. Jasmine says she's going to wipe his species off the earth and gives him a big old kiss.
Does she mean humans or vampires?
I didn't know. Like, I was also confused.
Before what happens next, I have to talk again just about the terrible comparison. It's not like the prevalent comparison, but like it's around and I see a lot of white people saying it. Not a lot, but a few that I'm like, stop this. comparing Jasmine to Oprah and saying this is a satire of Oprah. They are just black women. There is nothing literally in common between the two. It is upsetting to see. I Googled it just to double check. Yeah, there were some articles. There was like a forum thing. There's some tweets. I'm like, no. No, it's literally, again, it's just like, it's false idol. It's like, it's not, it's partially, it's the fact that Firefly was canceled. So now you have Gina Torres. That's part of it. Second of all, it's like, it's early 2000s, late 90s. We're in the, in a post-Dishwalla era. Tell me all your thoughts on God, because I'd really like to see her. Like, like, come on. What if God was one of us and she was Gina Torres?
True. Just a slob, like one of us. Except she isn't, because she's perfect.
There is nothing Oprah-like about her. It fucking drives me insane. White people, cut the shit. I did, when I was looking this on Twitter, I did see someone who follows me had tweeted that, like, in 2011. I'm like, no. No.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, I do understand because that's just racism. But, like, what the fuck? Maybe if she was like, you get a car, you get a... Like, that's not what happened. That nothing Oprah-ish.
You know how Oprah's whole thing is that, like, she knows the names of everyone in her audience? Like, that's a thing, too, right?
She does?
No!
No! I have very little Oprah literacy, to be honest, but I, like, that's bullshit.
If that were the case, then I would understand, but that's not the case. I'm so sorry, Morgan. I'm so sorry. I was
like,
that.
I don't know. Jesus fucking Christ. Connor shows up and he's like, it's always the same. If I get a girl, you have to take her. And I'm like, that's your daughter.
Also, the girl that you think he took was Cordelia, who was already kind of his girlfriend. You took, again, they're not possessions. They're women. They're people, kind of, with Jasmine. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
No taking. Second of all, it wasn't even Cordelia who you were with.
Yes.
It was her. It was Jasmine, your daughter.
Yeah, which is just like,
the tourist. It's just for this.
Again, these quips do not work. Like, there have not been many Connor pithy quips that have
And also, like, for her kissing him, like, just kiss of death, like, before she kills him. And that's the closest I can think. But yeah, But it's really just surfaced this line from Connor that this makes sense.
That sucks. So then back in the lobby, the gang all filters in and they find like everything abandoned and deserted. And they're like, this is fucking creepy and post-apocalyptic. They also find the head and Gunn just holds it up, which has produced a great screen cap that I now have. And Wes is like, this must have been Angel. And they run out to help him. But there's something at the door that seems to surprise them. Ooh. Back on the streets, Jasmine is like, Angel ruined everything, but I still have you, right, Connor? Like, my best friend and dad, who I love.
He's like, yeah. And then he punches her head in.
He punches through her head. yikes, it's quite graphic. And basically, like, Angel's like, hey, you did what you had to do. Like, it's okay. And
Angel, who's really fucked up. Yeah, Angel's, like, in so much pain, but he's trying to, like, calm Connor down, which Connor is calm.
Connor he's calm as fuck.
Very calm. And then he runs away like the little bee he is.
Yeah, and Angel is just too hurt to follow him.
Yeah.
Back in the lobby, Angel comes home. And he's talking over his friends, as per usual. They have something to say to him. And Angel's like, I could not be less interested. We're doing my thing. I mean, I'm kidding. He's obviously been through a really awful thing.
As always, Angel is all about me. Because he's in L.A., so he's a bitch. Oh, no.
Yep.
The angry letters are coming.
As a bitch in L.A., I can confirm. So he tells them Jasmine's dead, Connor killed her, and he's very, like, feeling very fucked up about it.
He's
like,
he's Connor very looked, worried.
Yeah, like he had nothing left. Like he'd just given up. Mm-hmm. And Wes is trying to tell him something, but our boy is not listening.
Angel, you really
got a bad feeling. He's just given up. I think he's gonna do something, you know, he might.
End world peace? Well, you already took care of that. Congratulations.
She's here. And then all my problems melt away. Every single one of my troubles is gone. Because my beautiful angel, Lila Morgan, has returned.
She's not an angel. I think if she's returned, she's definitely not an angel.
She's my angel.
Oh boy.
I love her, and she's never done anything wrong in her life. And I'm
doing
so
this
glad
is how we
her.
Got into the situation we're in now about saying evil people are angels and they haven't done anything wrong, and we support everything they do, and then they take
I
over the world.
I refuse to learn anything.
Oh no.
No learning, only fun. I was fucking thrilled. Like, they tried to tell you, Angel, and now I bet you feel kind of stupid, don't you? I love that Lila's here. We have been waiting for our baby girl to come back to us because Wolfram and Hart owns her ass. Mm-hmm. And now they finally fucking trotted her out to hang out with her hot ex. I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh, calm down. Keep it together. Put your clothing back on.
No. Taking more off, actually. I missed her so much, and I'm just like so happy to see her. But I know things are still looking pretty grim. Does that mean it's time for Fuck Watch?
Yes.
Fuck Watch. Hey, LaToya, who are you fucking?
The orgy, banquet hall. You're fucking Thierry. No.
Okay, if I'm not cheating, I'm gonna fuck the KTLA reporter. She she was hot, and, you know, she can tell me about local news.
She is hot. She's in an episode of Supernatural in season one, the episode Home, where they go back to their old home, and Loretta Devine is there. She is, like, the mom who, like, moves into their old house, and things are happening.
Ooh, hell yeah. Then I did a good pick. And Kristen, are you here? Whoever would you fuck?
I am always here for Fuck Watch. Even if I don't speak into the microphone, I always in my own mind pick my Fuck Watch. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was picking. My first initial pick was Jasmine with a truck plus Angel. I was getting it all.
Mm-hmm.
But then something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Gina Torres, as Jasmine, called Angel vampire. And that is my Fuck Watch moment. I want Gina Torres saying vampire to Angel, but fucking me.
Okay.
That's the moment for me. So
that is specific.
Hey,
I love
listen,
it.
You know what I mean? You can only pick things one time, so you gotta really get in there.
You know what works for you, and I admire that. Well. Know thyself. Bless you.
Bye, guys.
I thought it was going to be Lila.
Goodbye.
Well, that's Fuckwatch. Now, like, we obviously have a big something or other coming to us from Wolfram and Hart. And things are looking pretty tense. The world is pretty shattered. But is there anything on the WB you'd recommend that Angel and the gang check out?
Hit it, bitch.
John Mark, please put the WB jingle here.
Don't forget, you're not the bitch. It's Jenny.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They got that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see. Oh,
yeah. Okay. So, for the WB episode, I was thinking, Angel, Team Angel, if they really, and Jasmine also, if they really want to see Paradise, I think they should watch a little show called Summerland, starring and co-created by Lori Loughlin herself.
Oh my God.
Maybe check out the pilot, see how they feel. It's like the movie where Kate Hudson gets some kids, but Lori Loughlin gets some kids in like this really cool place in L.A.
And not L.A., in California. Raising Helen?
Yes, Raising Helen, a movie we had to look up when I brought up Kate Hudson getting some kids.
Okay, I just was like, some of us know the name of that movie right away.
You did not when I first brought it up.
When?
This is on an episode of Vampire Diaries. I said that movie where Kate Hudson gets some kids, and you're like, what?
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, now it's in here.
That's why you know it, because we looked it up.
God, I don't know anything.
Jesus, you are ruining the podcast.
Sorry.
But yeah, she's in a paradise in California, the fictional city of Playa Linda, California. You got Ryan Kwanten in there. You got High School Musical Zac Efron. You got the baby Panabaker, Kay Panabaker, before she retired from acting. You know we love some Kay Panabaker. Angel and Co. might be confused to see her because they know her as like the white room creepy girl. But that girl's dead now, so.
Yeah.
That girl. But yeah, they should check out the pilot, see how they feel. Maybe dive in, like Christy Carlson Romano says in Summerland.
You know it feels good.
It does. And that's true paradise, baby.
Oh, I love it. I bet they'll have a really fun time with that one.
Absolutely. All Downhill from Here by Newfound Glory is on the official soundtrack.
Hell yeah,
2005.
Baby.
You know it was.
Oh, the good old days.
We have to go back.
And that's WB.
It is.
So we've had quite a time. We've had feuds. We've resolved feuds. We've remembered and forgotten Raising Helen. And now we're here. And LaToya, do you have anything else to say about this ep of Angel entitled Peace Out? Because there's no more peace.
The peace is out. And that's all I have to say about that.
Fair enough. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Angel on Top Cast on both Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Patreon. We're linked there. We have some live watches coming up in the month of September. That'll be really fun on the 6th and the 20th. We're going to be watching Expecting and Guys Will Be Guys, both at 6 p.m. PST. So hang out with us on Discord. It's going to be fun. You can also get access to the Cole Turner cast there where we're talking about Charmed and we're having some fun.
You're having so much fun. Kristen, do you want to give an endorsement to Cole Turner cast?
Yeah, please.
Cole Turner cast helped me understand that I love Cole Turner. This is Kristen Russo.
Yay! Yes!
Cole Turner saves. you can follow me on social media at Lorgan Mudich on whatever platform you so choose. LaToya, how can the people find you and should they?
Do not.
You heard it here first. Don't fucking do it. And I guess. Oh, what?
I'm sorry.
Just laughing.
Stacey Dash apparently just learned that DMX passed away. Like, she just found out. It's been a year.
Breaking news.
She went on TikTok to cry about it.
And with that said, you are now checking out of the Hyperion. Ding, ding.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did it turn to the time pattern?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.